Yesterday we saw that Prabhuji was reading that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has shown wonderful signs of being a very exalted Vaishnava. One of the pastimes which actually describes that how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very serious about his spiritual life. And he showed that how he is a preacher, he is a great acharya. Acharya means acharti iti acharya, one who practices by himself and then he who preaches to others. Once, in their house they got some mangoes. And India mangoes are very famous. So, and generally kids, they pounce upon the mangoes as soon as they come. Even the, what to speak of, kids, but even the elders and olders also, they generally try to grab the fruit, the mango fruit. Especially in Konkan, it is very famous. So this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was just maybe around 4 or 5 years old. He just grabbed that mango without asking anybody, and he started eating the mango. Bhakti Vinod Thakur rebuked him that how could you do this actually, without offering this fruit to Lord Krishna? How did you actually think of even eating also? So that particular incident struck in his mind that what did I do actually? I committed a great offense. Okay. And he considered that he is a big offender all through his life. And he gave up eating this mango fruit. Imagine a mango fruit, like, you know, if once you get a taste, you will never leave eating the mango. And especially if you are in Konkan. Okay, if you belong from Konkan. It's mango, amazing fruit it is. I reckon. Especially the Hapus mango or Alphonse mango. It's, yeah, I know. So do my wife. That's why I was saying. Actually, in regards to this mango, there's a wonderful story of Srila Prabhupada. You see how great acharyas, they are so committed. Srila Prabhupada was in Siberia, and he was preaching in Siberia. All the devotees in India, they were concerned about Srila Prabhupada. They thought that it is so cold, and already it is so much snowing. Siberia is a cold place, and Srila Prabhupada belongs to a tropical country. Like, you know, he happens to be from India. It's a warm, like everywhere, it's a warm weather. And devotees were so much worried about Srila Prabhupada's health, they wrote him an email. They sent him a message that Srila Prabhupada, please come. Summertime, and everywhere there's a mangoes, Prabhuji, Srila Prabhupada, and we would like to offer the best mango, the Alphonse mango to you. Srila Prabhupada wrote to them that, like, you know, he said that preaching in the snowy desert of Siberia is sweeter than the sweetest mango. That's how our acharyas are, they're so dedicated. So here Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he committed this offense when he was 4 or 5 years old, he gave up eating mango all through his life. Many times, like generally when any holy person is there, and when people visit such holy person, they bring some foodstuffs or some fruits with them. So they used to bring mangoes to offer to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Saraswati Thakur used to always deny that, like, no, I cannot eat the mangoes because I have committed offense to my Lord. All through his life he was just saying that. Imagine, like, you know, that's how we can see that people, like, with such a great characters, or people with like a spiritual people or acharyas, they live with integrity. What we would have actually compromised this for some time. Like, if I talk of myself, I would have said, okay, what happened? Once I did it, it doesn't matter. Like, maybe I can eat it. Maybe 5 years of penance is okay, but not all through my life. Like, or maybe 10 years is also okay. Maybe at least let me enjoy. Maybe in my end of life. Now, that's what we could have given an excuse. But it is not. Like, you know, you see that these are the signs of, like, great acharya Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Later also you will see from his life that how he was pretty young. I mean, he was a very small kid. Small kid when they found a Kurmadev deities. It was a Shaligram Shila, which Bhakti Vinod Thakur found when they were excavating the Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta, which Prabhuji was reading yesterday. And then as he got that Shaligram Shila, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him that Shaligram Shila, that Kurumadev, and asked him to worship. In that childhood itself, he showed a great sign of a devotee, of a devotion actually. And he was worshipping with such a love and devotion that itself showed that, like, you know, he would go on to become a great acharya. In fact, when he was before his birth also, it was predicted that a great Vaishnava, an exalted acharya, would going to come into their lineage, into Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family. And when he was when he took a birth, when they look at his chart, okay, the natal chart, everybody, all the big astrologers, they said that this is something which they haven't seen in their lifetime, such a natal chart. And he had all 32 signs in his body. So that was actually described. And of course, we also knew that generally any Rath Yatra cart doesn't halt for anybody, unless and until Lord himself wants to stop, like, you know, wait. Like if he desires that, like, you know, for himself on his own, that I want to stop, like stop moving from here, okay. Otherwise, Lord keeps on moving during the Rath Yatra. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born, in front of his house, the Jagannath cart was standstill for almost 3 continuous days. Yeah, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was chanting. He organized a chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was actually a government servant, and it was just, as in India, you know that how, like, people generally, a government servant get transferred from one place to another. So he was positioned in Puri, and during the Rath Yatra, he organized a big chanting, like, you know, a big kirtan mela in his house. And those 3 days, the Jagannath did not move. And then when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to know, he said, like, you know, he thought, like, let his child get the blessings of Jagannath. And then he took his child. And as he took his child, when the child's head was taken closer to the feet of Jagannath, just then the garland fall from the neck of Jagannath, and it encircled the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So here, it generally doesn't happen. Now people may think that it could be by chance, by mistake. Okay, that is what atheistic people generally think that. Like, you know, that's what this generally comes in our mind. Now, I'm not talking about others. Like, you know, it also pops up in my mind generally. Like, you know, if something, any miraculous something happen, we think that maybe it could be by chance. Okay, maybe it could be, like, you know, just who knows? Like, you know, just once in a thousand times it may have happened, but it is not. Nothing happens by chance. Okay, behind everything there is a reason. And especially behind this thing, there was a great reason, because Lord wanted to encircle the garland Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that is the inherent meaning behind that. So that also shows that how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a chosen child, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had prayed to Lord Vishnu that please send a ray of Vishnu to my house who can preach your gospel to all the people, okay, to all the materialistic people, who all the sleeping people right now. Okay, that's what he prayed, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in their house. He was actually the third child of the second wife of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second wife was Bhagavati Devi, and if you see, he was a sixth child, but third child of his second wife's of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second wife's third child. So even though being such a young person, like youngest son amongst all the siblings, he was the only one who actually took to this. Of course, there are also a couple, a 14th or other sons, they also took to the Krishna consciousness, but not to this extent which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has taken. He went on to become a greatest acharya. Okay? Greatest acharya in this Kali Yuga, and his legacy is still continuing through his disciples. Okay? And that's how we are actually we are speaking on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and we also are getting the through His mercy, we are getting an opportunity to serve devotees and also to serve the deities as well. So these are like initial signs of how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not an ordinary person, and he was a blessed child, and he came for some unique purpose to deliver all the humanity in one way. One way, though Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not do personally, okay, when he was there, he established 64 mathas. Okay, matha means at that time we call it as a temple, mathadhipati. That means it's such a temple president. That's how we call. So he established 64 temples, and he had, I forgot the number actually. He had more than like, you know, many like 100 or 100, more than 100, I think, sannyasis actually. Okay, I had written down some point of time that those many sannyasis he actually created, those many disciples. And also, if among those 64, there are three places where there are three Western places. One of them was London, second was Germany, third was Burma. So these are three places. Okay, and Germany, there was one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was sent. His name was Bon Maharaj. Bon Maharaj was one of the very intelligent and very enthusiastic preacher. He was the only one preacher who actually got succeeded in preaching outside United States. Otherwise, no one. There were other sannyasis. They were also sent to London. But Bon Maharaj was comparatively successful. He could make some disciples. Of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur from Germany. He gave some talks in some of the universities and some other places, and he could actually get a very huge crowd. Okay, in Germany, he was in London with Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj and one more sannyasi. They were preaching in London. They also tried to preach the one of the Lord for Lord of Zetland. Okay, and this is a beautiful incident. The Lord of Zetland asked the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, "Can you make us a brahmana?" And Lord of Zetland said, "Yes." Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples said, "Yes, we are capable of making you brahmana." Then Zetland asked, "What do you have to do?" They said, "You have to do only few things. The first thing, follow these four regulative principles: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling." Now, this is actually their part of culture, and especially the Western culture. And the qualifications to become a brahmana was to go against their culture. And he said, "It is impossible for me to actually follow." See, you can see that how difficult it was to preach at that time to the Western country, and in the Western country and to the Western people in general. But the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur disciples, they tried very, very hard, and they could get like a couple of disciples who could surrender to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Though they were not successful, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had ordered them that you please come back and then preach here. Okay, preach in the again in India. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's tenet or the canon of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching principle was Krishnascha Akhila Chesta. Okay, that means only for Krishna he is going to do anything and everything. Okay, there is one great saint in Maharashtra. He said that Deva Mastaki Dharavaga Avaga Halakallola Karava. This is one of the best teachings which I have heard, that if you become Krishna consciousness, if your mind and if your whole body is completely Krishna consciousness, you can actually shake the whole world. You can move the entire world. And that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. So only for the sake of Krishna, he actually did all kinds of endeavor. And he actually succeeded in whatever undertaking he endeavored. Or whatever attempts he made, in all those attempts he could actually succeed. In those times, it was very difficult to have a car. Now, I think in one of the talk, Girira Swami was mentioning that in 1970s, when Girira Swami went to India, during that time, Fiat and Ambassador were the only cars. And very few, like chosen few people, they used to have those cars. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1930s, he was born in 1874, okay, 1874. And in 1930s, when he was in the peak, in 1932 or something like that, he actually took sannyas in Mayapur. And in 1933, he established the Gaudiya Math in Calcutta, And during that year, that was his station. That's where he started preaching in Calcutta. Because he thought that there is no point in being secluded and just doing the japa. Okay, japa in a hermitage or in a small hut. He thought that let me go into the people and preach there. So this is one of the unique way which a saint could have ever thought of it. Now, all the saints, in general, they went across, whenever they actually practiced something, whenever they achieved some realization, they went into the society or into the people. They traveled all through India. They wanted to find out how the country is, how the people are in general living. If you take in general any saint's lifestyle, you will generally see that. That's how they have done. They wandered because they wanted to see what is the predicament of this, of the society or the people in general. And so did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He also did the same thing. He traveled to South India. He just wanted to see, he wanted to see the holy places, but also wanted to see what exactly people are doing. Okay. And he realized that there is no point in me being in a rural place or being in a jungle or being in a dungeon and just chanting. I would rather go into the public place and among them I would start preaching. Ja Shishi Gaurmata ki Jai, Ja Shishi Radha Gopiyolab ki Jai, Ja Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki Jai. So that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And what was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's another one of the not rebellious in one way, which was a revolutionary tenet. It was that for Krishna's priti, okay, bhogavanch, Krishna's priti, bhogatyaga. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's principle. He believed that Krishna is the ultimate Lord. He is the Lord of the entire universe. For him, everything should be offered. And generally, saints, they offer whatever they possess to the Lord. So his teachings was that all the great things, all the opulent things, all the whatever the best things should be offered to the saint. And the saints, they utilize in the service of Krishna. Okay? And that's what he did. And that time, he had almost three cars. One camel, one horse, okay, unimaginable, one elephant. These were unimaginable. He was, and I think, in the words of, if I have to say, of Giriraj Maharaj said that he had a limousine. And it was true, like a limousine. Now, if you see now limousine, anybody, if you have seen the limousine, it's a huge limousine. It's a very, one of the higher-end car where, which is rented for some big celebrations. So that was kind of a car which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to have. And people, and in those times in Calcutta, very few people used to have. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was one of the person who had that car. And he used all these cars to attract the general mass of people. This is called as a best Yukta Vairagya principle, okay, which Rupa Goswami has mentioned. There is no Falgu Vairagya. Falgu Vairagya means there is no false renunciation. I don't want. Yesterday I went to one place actually. That place, they actually learned many, in fact, they learned the principles from our ISKCON in one way. Now they are one of the richest organizations in one way. You can see that. Not just in India, but even in the Western countries, and they have the opulent temples in all over the world. I just happened to be there yesterday, and I was talking to this to some of the preachers there. So, and I happened to see some of the facility also, and I tried to understand like what exactly they tried to do. And this person who came from, he was actually from South Africa, and he was explaining me that what do they do actually. Okay, what do they do? And they said that like their teacher, okay, they actually relinquish, they don't do five things, they abstain from five things. And one of them was actually the wealth. They said abstaining from wealth. And he was explaining me about the whole principle in there, like all five things and in detail. And he was saying that like this is what they do. They never actually touch the wealth. You know, as against this, what did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did? He was one of the wealthiest person in one way. You see, he had like cars, camels, horses. All these are signs of like some of the wealthy people actually. Okay. And so did Bhakti, so did our Srila Prabhupada. What did Bhakti Srila Prabhupada do? Srila Prabhupada actually said many times that like, you know, people want to, they want to renounce wealth and they don't want to go close to wealth. But I am ready. You actually give me a pile of wealth and like, you know, I am ready to embrace and you take a picture of me. That was Bhakti, that was actually Srila Prabhupada. He understood the principle of utility, and he really understood the Bhoga Tyaga principle. Okay? The principle of what real renunciation. That was Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, how did Srila Prabhupada actually become Srila Prabhupada? Our own Srila Prabhupada. Okay. How did he become Srila Prabhupada? It is actually from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then we wouldn't have got our own Srila Prabhupada. He learned all these tenacious principles. Okay, Srila Prabhupada from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself. He was a lion guru, okay, and he got this title from not an ordinary person. If you know the history, you know our freedom history, okay, our independence history. One of the freedom fighter, his name was Deshbandhu Chittaranjan Das. He is a person who actually gave a title to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He gave him a title of Sriha Guru. A lion guru. He is a person who was actually who appeared in the form of a lion to preach the gospel or to preach to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, who has the arms of Lord Chaitanya? Who has the arms of a lion and who roars like a lion? So that is what's called Simha Guru, Simhera Guru. Okay, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was being praised by not an ordinary people. He was being praised by some of the great stalwarts. He was also given a title of Srila Prabhupada by his own disciple. His own disciple, I think it was in 1924, when there was a Vyas Puja. So his disciple actually, his name was Vasudev Prabhu. He gave him the title that Srila Prabhupada. And he, in fact, requested Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you please accept this title, Srila Prabhupada, okay, on our behalf. So, titles are not being actually but self-made. Or we don't attach the titles on our own. They are being conferred by some other people. So, out of love, these devotees have actually gave this title to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And so also to our Srila Prabhupada, to our Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So the Srila Prabhupada title was given by his disciples. Okay. Though it was, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had the same title, but Srila Prabhupada accepted it because of their love. And also the title means that Srila Prabhupada, in the sense, who is always at the feet of Krishna. That title means that. It's not something very like, you know, something to be proud of. It is actually something which denotes that he is a servant and who is always at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Now the first time when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur met Bhakti, met Srila Prabhupada, it was in 1922, at one Ulta Junction Road. Okay, that was that time it was a Gaudiya Math. The Gaudiya Math was not formed, and one of his friend was Narendranath Malik. He took him to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Srila Prabhupada had few friends, and one of them was Narendranath Malik, and they used to consider Srila Prabhupada as a leader. Whatever Srila Prabhupada actually says, whatever Srila Prabhupada approves, they used to accept. And then Narendranath Malik wanted to get an idea from Srila Prabhupada that how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how authentic is this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that's why Narendranath Malik took Srila Prabhupada at one Ulta Junction Road. And when Srila Prabhupada heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, okay, needless to say, Srila Prabhupada mentioned later on that, like, you know, he actually, like a fool, he questioned Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada questioned him many things about it. What is the need of becoming a spiritualist when there is a larger need, when there is a need of, like, you know, need of freedom for our country? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur smashed all the arguments of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada later also mentioned that, like, you know, I was happily being smashed by my own spiritual master. And I was foolish at that time. And that's how all Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Srila Prabhupada's friends, they actually took the word that this is a actually real guru. And then Srila Prabhupada later on took initiation from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1933. Actually, in 1920, after 1922, 1923, Srila Prabhupada moved to Allahabad. He moved to Allahabad. And it's a very nice incident. In the Allahabad, everybody knows that every 4 years, there is a, 5 years, there is a Kumbh Mela. And that was the year when there was supposed to be a Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. And all the Gaudiya Math devotees, they went to Allahabad. And they thought, okay, let us establish a Gaudiya Math there. And when they came to this to Allahabad, they came to know about Srila Prabhupada. Somebody said that you go to Praya Pharmacy. Srila Prabhupada established Praya Pharmacy in Allahabad. And all the Gaudiya Math, devotees, they went to Srila Prabhupada and they asked, can you help us? And that's how Srila Prabhupada's connection with Gaudiya Math was established. Re-established in one way. Okay. And later on, the Mathadipati or the in-charge of Allahabad, Gaudiya Math, his name was Atulananda. Yeah, his name was Atulananda. He later on actually made friendship with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada used to go to the mat quite frequently. Just like now, right now we have a temple. Many people live outside. They come here, they chant. Okay, Srila Prabhupada also used to do that. He used to chant, used to give talks there. Okay. In Allahabad Math, and eventually later, this same Atulananda, he was a temple president. He introduced, not introduced, he recommended Srila Prabhupada to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Please, please give him an initiation. But he got initiated in 1933, and that was, was it in Allahabad or was it in Bombay? I'm not sure. Because in 1932, Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay. And in Bombay, again, the same incident happened. Bhaktisaranga Goswami Maharaj, he was there. And also Sridhar Swami was also there. They were trying to establish the Gaudiya Math again in Mumbai. So Srila Prabhupada again helped them in establishing the Gaudiya Math in Mumbai. And then in 1935, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to install the deities of Radha Krishna there. And that's how again Srila Prabhupada got blessings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Eventually, later in 1932, also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he established this Gaur Mandal Parikrama, and also the Garhmandal Parikrama and Vrajamandal Parikrama, both. Okay, he established both, and then he started all this parikramas in both places. So once, I think in 1932, there was a parikrama in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada went there, and he again associated with the devotees, and he heard from Srila Prabhupada. That time Srila Prabhupada was not initiated. Okay, and then later on, after initiation, again in 1935, Srila Prabhupada, was it 1935? I think 1933. It was November 1933. Okay, that's when, because it was a Kartik. And Srila Prabhupada went to again to Vrindavan, and there he again associated with the devotees, and he heard very with a rapt attention from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And by then, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had already established the most opulent temple, okay, in Calcutta. It was in Bagh Bazar, and from it, with the help of one of his disciples, everywhere it was marble. And what happened? All the devotees, they were starting. They were actually fighting amongst them that which room they should get it. And Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was explaining to Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, I think it was in near Radhakunda. That's where it was. He was explaining that how my disciples are actually fighting. So he said that Agun Jalube. So Agun Jalube. So that's a Bengali word that he used. He said that there will be fire in the mud. My disciples are fighting just for this petty things. For which place I have to get it. I remember when I was in Pune, when this new temple was coming up in Pune, earlier they used to have a very austere place. It was like pretty much, if you understand, that is aluminum trays or aluminum plates in one way. Then aluminum plates in one way. So everywhere the whole house was made up with aluminum plates, and in that all the devotees used to live before this new temple has built, and it was very austere living, all the devotees were. So in the cold, you can imagine that how cold it was, and in one 10 by 10, maybe around 10 to 20 or 100 people used to get cramped, or they used to sleep. That is the how all the devotees were living. And when the new temple was coming up, I happened to speak to this one of the monk, the brahmachari, and he was saying, I was actually appreciating his thought. He was saying that now this new temple is coming, and I'm worried that what will happen next? Okay, what will happen next? Because he was so used to this austere living, and he was so blissful in living in that austere place, just in by 10 by 10 place. That is how devotees are so committed, because they are not used to such opulence, and they do not want to have this opulent place, because they think that if they get this facility, they might get distracted, okay, from Krishna consciousness. That's how these devotees were thinking. Whereas now, at that time in 1933, you can imagine marble and having such an opulent place, how great facility it was. And those devotees were fighting, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually very worried about that. And he was saying that a fire will take place in my mutt. And he expressed his concern to Bhakti, to Srila Prabhupada, to our own Srila Prabhupada. And then he asked Srila Prabhupada that you please, if you get money, you should print the books. Okay. This was the instruction he got in Radhakund, in Vrindavan, in 1933. And then later, I think it was 1935, just at the, I think end of 1934, he wrote an email in December 1934. He wrote an email to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. My dear Srila Prabhupada, you have so many disciples who are so close to you. Okay, and they are doing so many services to you and so much great service to you. But I am actually so away from you. I'm engaged in so many in my family life. And I'm doing my business. How will I be able to serve you? Please actually instruct me. And then I think just after 15 days, a fortnight later, he got a reply from Shula, from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in that say, in that letter, he asked Shula, so our own Shula Prabhupada, that you please preach in English language. The message of Lord Chaitanya, you preach in English language, and in that, and take it to the, he didn't say to take it to the Western countries. In that way, you will also be well established. So that is the message which he got from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he took this message. The same message he got when he went to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922. The first time when he met at one Ulta Junction Road. Okay, the same message he got again at the end of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. Okay, so he took this message to his life. And he considered the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as a life and soul. And that's how Srila Prabhupada led his own preaching. He established his Krishna consciousness. So the success of Srila Prabhupada's preaching, actually, you will see the roots in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur executed the Yukta Vairagya principle, in similar way, Srila Prabhupada executed that. If you want to pour anything in any glass, okay, there the vessel from which you are pouring, it has to be there has to be something in that vessel. If it is empty, how can you pour something in a glass? You cannot pour anything. So that's how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had everything, whatever was required to preach. And whatever the techniques and the skills he used or he adopted, the same techniques and same skills our Srila Prabhupada has used. You can see in his entire biography that Srila Prabhupada has pretty much engaged all those principles. And that's why you will see that Srila Prabhupada was another revolutionary preacher in one way. Now, I never heard that somebody can actually go to Western country. Somebody who can actually build such a nice temples. Somebody who can travel in cars. Somebody who can talk about money. Somebody who can talk about property. Especially such a holy people. In India, it's a common misconception. People generally think that holy people or renunciate people, they should not talk about money. They should not talk about any property. And they should not talk even to Mataji's, to the female disciples, or even if they have any devotee. But Srila Prabhupada, you can see some of his pictures that, like, you know, at one point of time, Srila Prabhupada was traveling. He was taking a morning walk with Yamuna Mataji, and it is there in Yamuna Mataji's book also. And she explains that how, like, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that if his own god brothers see these pictures that Srila Prabhupada is walking with a Western girl, with a Western woman, they would actually chastise him. They would think something something different about him. But Srila Prabhupada was pretty revolutionary. It doesn't mean that Srila Prabhupada was actually he was doing anything wrong. Okay, he was pure in his mind, pure in his heart, okay, and he was pure with consciousness. And he was showing a fatherly love to everybody. It doesn't matter whether it's a male or whether it's a female disciple. He was showing to everybody. But that was a pretty revolutionary. And even to me also. But thanks to this Krishna consciousness, like later on, how I actually understood that how the principles of this spirituality, they are to be applied, especially the Yukta Vairagya principle. Otherwise, I thought that anything which is related to spirituality means you have to give up, you have to renounce everything. But that's not. Everything we have to utilize in the service of Krishna consciousness. Utility is the principle. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has actually shown by his example. And same Srila Prabhupada has shown it by example. They used to go for fund collections, and Srila Prabhupada was also one of them. He used to join. Quite often Srila Prabhupada used to go when he was living in Allahabad, he used to go to Calcutta to Bagh Bazar to listen from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So it was not that only few meetings and Srila Prabhupada became Srila Prabhupada. No, it was Srila Prabhupada heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quite often. And Srila Prabhupada, actually our own Srila Prabhupada, wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I think it was in 1932 or 33. He wrote on Vyasa Puja of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What was that? He said that that was a famous this thing. No, no. What's that word? He said that impersonalism. Impersonalism. Absolute is ancient. Thou has proved. Okay. Impersonalism is a calamity. Thou has removed. So that was the poem which Srila Prabhupada actually, our own Srila Prabhupada wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was so amazed by his writing. And he said that what he actually instructed to his disciples, that whatever Srila Prabhupada writes, our own Srila Prabhupada writes, okay, they should print it in the magazine, in the Harmonist magazine. Harmonist was the magazine they used to publish. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very revolutionary, as I was saying, that he was the first person who used this newspapers and magazines to spread the Krishna consciousness. It's amazing to hear about that in those days. Where is that? 1930 was pretty, like, in one way you can say that it was very primitive. If you talk about now, if you compare with the present day India also. What not to speak about like Western country, present day India also, 1930 in those days Calcutta is very primitive. In general, if you have visited Calcutta, anybody, you will see that Calcutta in general is primitive compared to other cities. You see that? It is very, very, it's a very shabby, like Calcutta, if you see many places are, people don't like Calcutta in general. It's very crowded. Very crowded. People live very, like, you know, unhealthy, unhygienic. Though I'm being from India, it's not like, you know, I'm telling you the fact. It's not like, you know, I'm trying to show off that, like, you know, I'm living in the United States, but I'm just trying to explain that how Calcutta is. In those days, it was so primitive. And in those days, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established the printing press. And he spread the Krishna consciousness through this, through printing, through magazines and through newspapers. In fact, it was, he used even the AIR. AIR, if you don't know what is AIR means, All India Radio. Even now also, anything to be announced in radio and video, in TV, is considered big. And in those days to come to, like, to any such kind of Krishna consciousness to be announced through All India Radio was the biggest thing. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur achieved that. In fact, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur died, there was a mourning which was declared by the Bengal and Calcutta Municipal Corporation. One day, and all the the councillors, they came together, and there was a mourning. They actually held a condolence meeting. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur died in 1937, I guess, yeah, 1937, 1st January 1937, I guess, yeah. When he died, that time, he died in Bagh Bazar. From Bagh Bazar to Shelda station, so there is a train station, they took a procession, which generally should have taken, like, you know, few minutes, but it took, like, you know, many, many hours. People were moved by that. And in All India Radio, it was announced that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was died. And in those days, there was a chartered train. If anybody understands what chartered train is, man, it was an exclusive train. Exclusive train which was filled with only devotees. In 1930s, unheard of. Even now, even we have so many connections, ISKCON has so many connections, we are not still able to get a chartered train. Okay, it is that. You can see how influential was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He actually influenced so many big personalities. That was his principle. Yad yad acharati shrestas tatta deva taro janaha. Okay, that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Whoever were the influential people, were the leaders, he went and approached and he preached them. He invited the the governor of Bengal to Mayapur. If anybody have gone Mayapur now, you will also see that Mayapur is still pretty much like, you know, a very countryside place. No one would take any such a big personality there. Why would they take? They would rather take him to Calcutta and, like, you know, put him, and give him some hospitality. But he took him to Mayapur, to the governor, and he wore a like, you know, like a sewn clothes. Especially sewn clothes are not been worn by any sannyasi, because anything which is sewn, they are not supposed to wear. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was completely, like, you know, a very different sannyasi. He pretty much overruled, or what do you call it? He didn't follow the general norms which a sannyasi has to follow, because he understood the real principle, the higher principle behind everything. Okay, he understood the essence of being a renunciate. And so he wore the sewn clothes. And not only he, but he also asked all his brahmacharis also to wear nice pants and suits and shirts when this governor came. And he gave them, now this is unheard of, that he also gave them the non-vegetarian food also to eat. It doesn't matter. Now you may think that it is compromised, but it is not. He was just trying to host them, or like host them, and also spread Krishna consciousness in some way. He was an acharya. We should not follow that. Okay, so don't try to follow any such great personalities. There are some other things also which he did, which is perhaps you may think that, like, you know, anybody should not do, and it was pretty revolutionary. Pretty revolutionary. If you hear some of the things which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had done, okay, you may think that how, like, you know, he's really a lion guru. Really lion guru. Something which he has done, which no one had done, any previous acharyas had not done it. That's why he could get such an extraordinary disciple. Only extraordinary people can make an extraordinary, like, you know, followers. It is not possible by any ordinary people. That was Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was so extraordinary, that's why we could have Srila Prabhupada. He made them to, like, you know, he gave them all nice facilities. He put them in a nice hotel and gave them nice hospitality. And he invited them to Mayapur festivals. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's idea, because he wanted to attract the mass, like, you know, the general mass. Because when they see such great people, they will also think that Krishna consciousness is something very, like, unique. And they see that, okay, rich people are going, so we should also go. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's idea. And he was very, very right in one way. That's why he could get so much of following. Imagine, like, you know, he started in 1900, he took first initiation. And I think in 1924, he took sannyas in Mayapur. In 1937, he left the body. And he established 64 mathas and made maharas or sannyasis. It's not an ordinary task. Compared to when we think of Srila Prabhupada, it's not ordinary task. Like, by then. Because of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we could actually see Krishna, our ISKCON flourishing, ISKCON actually spreading over. Because of Bhaktisiddhanta's teachings and his style of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, which our own Srila Prabhupada adopted that. I think I would stop here. There are so many other things which we can speak on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was truly a remarkable and one of the revolutionary sannyasi, which we can really look at and be proud of, and try to follow his instruction and follow in his footsteps. Okay, and so is our Srila Prabhupada, who gave. We couldn't have gotten Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had we not got Srila Prabhupada. So we should be more indebted to our Srila Prabhupada. Because it was Srila Prabhupada who connected us to the entire parampara. all our entire parampara is actually, it's not magical also. What word you can use? It's actually the heavenly. They were all heavenly people. And we got connected only by Srila Prabhupada. By His mercy, we got connected. Otherwise, we wouldn't have got connected. What on earth we could have heard about this Krishna consciousness principle, which was spreading in one nook of corner of Bengal? I still remember when I was a child, I had a habit of reading all the, like, you know, sages and other things, like, you know, and also some stories. One point of time, I happened to grab the book of this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I read it, but I didn't remember anything. But I remember one thing, that he was being described as a saint in that book. Yeah, dancing saint. It was a very small, tiny book. I read that book, but I never knew that. And since some point of time, I would also, like, you know, I will read his biography at great length, and I would also get a chance, like, you know, to engage myself in worshipping him. So that was the condition. Bengal and other countries were too not connected at all. And Krishna consciousness was not at all possible to be spread. But it is by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, it got spread all over India. And somehow we got chance to get into this Krishna consciousness. Somehow purify ourselves. Otherwise we wouldn't have gotten this chance. And how we got Srila Prabhupada? It was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So it's a mutual, okay, it's a mutual expression of gratitude. So on this auspicious occasion of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, let us pray to this Lion Guru, to a ray of Vishnu, who has actually produced such a wonderful disciple in the form of Srila Prabhupada, and who, by His mercy, we got this Krishna consciousness at His lotus feet. Let us offer our deep gratitude from a core of our heart and pray to Him that we get shelter at the lotus feet of Shishu Radha Gopiyolava eternally. Jai Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Kaur Premanandi. Hare Hare.